Major support for Only a Game comes from Bicon Dental Implants, since 1985 offering discerning patients a solution for failed root canal-treated teeth. Information is available online at Bicon.com or at 800-88-BICON.
This is Only a Game. I'm Bill Littlefield. Over the past 9 years, there's been ample opportunity to laugh on this show, because our concern is sports, isn't it? So today we thought we'd share what we feel are some of our funniest moments with you. Our first comes from 1994. Baseball was being torn apart by a bitter labor dispute. Both the players and the owners were so entrenched in their positions, they were willing to sacrifice playing the World Series unless they got their way. Gee, sounds kind of familiar. The downtrodden ballplayers needed moral support, and thinking maybe they need it again now, we reprise our ballad for the ballplayers.
I dreamed I saw Joe Hill last night in a seat behind home plate. Said Joe, how come there is no game? What happened? Am I late? What happened? Am I late? No, Joe, remember Messer Smith and Marvin Miller too, and Kurt Flood, who once told Commissioner Kuhn what he could do. Kurt told him what to do. By Big Bill Hayward's bones, said Joe, by Jimmy Hoffa's grave, you're telling me the fight's still on to lift the poor wage slave. God help the poor wage slave. Of course the faces change, said I, but tyranny's the same, and salary cap is just reserve clause by another name, another dirty name. And so I woke, and so we'll fight for what is right and true. And if Joe Hill can find the golf course, he can join us too. We all tee off at 2.
Ah, baseball. Even in days of strike or lockout, it's our most poetic game. Except when it isn't. There was a lot to like about the 2002 Winter Olympics, unless you were an Austrian author named Alois Gmeiner. Gmeiner grew so tired of the Olympic hype that he started an Olympics hate line where people could call in and, for about $2 a minute, vent their Olympic frustrations. We do not know how many South Koreans called. In February, I asked Gmeiner why there was a need for such a hate line since winter sports are so popular in Austria.
they are, I think, the most popular thing in Austria nowadays, or in the last 10 days. And that's my problem. I mean, the sport is okay. The Olympics are okay. But this hype that is now in Austria about the Olympics, that I'm against it. You know, you have 16 hours completely reports in the Austrian television, and you have the Olympics in the radio, and you have the Olympics in the newspapers. And that's my problem. That's too much.
Too much Olympics. Not that they're bad, but there's too much.
Too much. I mean, you can't switch in these days. You can't switch around on the newspapers. And there are skiings, there are skeleton, there are everything, ski jumpers. But afterwards and forwards, you have this conversation with the sports guys. That was your sporting game today so bad? Maybe it's because of your stomach illness or of your flu or I don't know. And that's my problem. I mean,
hey, you ought to be here, man. You think you have it bad over there? We really can't escape. But I'm curious about the messages that people have been leaving on your anti-Olympics phone line. What have people said?
Yeah, people, I think it's 50-50. 50% of the people on the phone line are against me, especially. I mean, why could you do that? And sport is good and everything is fine. And what are you doing, you bad guy? And the other part of the callers are really against not the Olympics, but against the sporting and against the hype, you know?
The hype.
And I say, oh my goodness, my husband is sitting next to me and he's watching since 6 hours. I hate this guy and beer in front of him, and he's shouting out, oh, Germany or Austria, and so, and that's their problems, and they shout it out on the telephone line, and yeah, and maybe they feel a little bit better then.
Oh, so it's a public service you're providing to make people feel
sure.
Better.
I see it that way. It's a public service, and the people get better after shouting out their problems.
Now, what is the angriest call that you've had so far? Is there one that really stands out for you?
I mean, in Europe, there are some intellectual answers on the phone line. I don't know if you like to hear it, but I think the intellectual one was "Cube Miner."
That's pretty bad.
sure it is. I mean, we'll get Chuck Minor. That's another one. but yeah.
What about yourself? I mean, have you been surprised by the tone of these things? You said it was about 50-50. Some people, yes, they complain about the Olympics. Some complain about you. Have you been surprised by that?
No. Because I set up 2 months ago this anti-Harry Potter hotline.
An anti-Harry Potter hotline.
Yeah, uh-huh. It was very successful. And from that thing, I knew that the people are some people are very crazy. Let's talk it that way. And I knew that from that time. It's a hate line, so people can say everything.
I'm wondering, given the response that you've seen to your hotlines, is this going to become a career? I mean, is this something that you're going to get set up for every possible event?
No. I mean, after two of these events, I mean, it's over now because it's boring. I mean, after today, it was funny doing it, and I was very surprised about the echo of the press. You know, I was really surprised. I mean, I'm in newspapers in Sao Paulo, in Brazil, in Japan, in everywhere, and that's very funny. But after two of these things, I think I will stop that for a while. And maybe there are coming up some Hollywood films that I'm not really a fan of. Then maybe I'll do some other thing.
I can certainly understand your being against that. Mm-hmm. But I gather that if you are going to stop, the 2004 games in Athens are safe from you.
I think so, yes. Yes, I think so. They are safe, and I'm so small and such a little sausage, you know, in Vienna, that I can do not really something bad against the Olympics. So they will come up in Athens. They will come up in whatever country and whatever city in the world. So they don't be afraid about this Alois Gmeiner in Vienna.
Alois Gmeiner is an author. He conducts an anti-Olympic phone line in Vienna, Austria. Mr. Gmeiner, thank you very much for speaking with me. I think you've given us an intriguing perspective on these games.
Thanks very much. Share your comments with Only a Game by writing to us, care of WBUR-FM, 890 Commonwealth Avenue, Boston, Massachusetts, 02215, or by emailing oag@wbur.bu.edu. Please let us know on which station you hear Only a Game and how to pronounce your name. You can leave comments on our listener line by calling 617-353-1860. You can visit Only a Game's website at www.onlyagame.org.
I don't give it a second thought.
It's a thin line between love and hate.
Don't think you can keep breaking your woman's heart. And she'll sit back and enjoy it.
It's a thin
yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Between love and hate, she gon' fool you one day.
The sweetest woman in the world.
It's 18 minutes past the hour. In preparation for next year's Cricket World Cup, a fan of the team from India has built a temple. Ramakrishnan is the fan's name, and he has included in his temple a shrine containing two idols representing the elephant god Ganesha, worshipped by Hindus as the remover of obstacles. I am sure people can help India win the World Cup by visiting this temple and chanting the name of the god, Ramakrishnan said. It will help increase the players' energy levels. A local school teacher in Chennai, where the temple stands, is skeptical. If games were won by prayers alone, India would have won all the World Cups played so far, he said.
From Boston University, this is WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. The Boston Red Sox last night began a weekend series against the Minnesota Twins at Fenway Park. Amid questions about their playoff hopes, the Sox are five games behind the Yankees in the American League East. To hear Red Sox Roundup, log on to WBUR.org and click on News. We're funded by you, our listeners, and by Direct Tire and Auto Service, whose 100 employees in Watertown, Norwood, Peabody, and Natick appreciate the support of WBUR listeners. They'll fix it so it breaks. Online at directtire.com. In the forecast, mostly sunny skies today, highs in the upper 80s, tonight's lows in the mid-60s. Tomorrow will be mostly sunny and continued hot, highs near 90 degrees. It is 70 degrees in Boston right now, 64 at Hyannis, 66 at Provincetown.
I'm Bill Littlefield. Coming up on Only a Game, a chess player is nagged by his motherboard. But first, pig farming is not a sport, so it is rare when sports and hog rearing cross paths. Paul Thompson of Stuart, Florida, made headlines a couple of years back when he was sued by his neighbor, the Florida Club Golf Course. The suit claimed the country music that Thompson was playing to soothe his swine was too loud and it was a nuisance to members of the upscale club. Thompson would not take such slop sitting down. He enlisted support across the nation for his cause, starting up a website, www.pigfarmer.com, and he pled his case through various media outlets, including our show. Thompson appeared on Only a Game in 2000, and we heard his story.
I play country music. They claim it's loud.
Uh-huh.
You think they're going to tell the truth?
What country music songs do your pigs tend to respond most happily to?
It's not about the country music. It's not the kind of music. This information that I've got on playing music for the animals comes through the Farm Bureau from the University of Florida. They have scientific proof that playing music for them reduces stress. That enhances the tenors, the meat, lets the animal grow faster and fatten quicker.
Mm-hmm.
South of here, where you have a heavy Spanish population, they play Spanish music. The music's about two things. I like to listen to country music, and it blocks out truck traffic, airplanes, and stuff like this. So whenever they're taken to slaughter with all of the commotion and noise, they don't go into shock and get stressed out as bad.
I see. Is it a smelly place, the pig farm?
Well, I've never been around a pig farm that didn't smell. I mean, you know, my sign says pig farm, not rose garden.
And the sign said pig farm when they first established their golf course, so they knew what they were getting into, I gather.
They admitted under oath and depositions they knew I was here in 92 and 3 when they was looking at the property. And whenever they broke ground in 95, they filed a complaint with HRS Health Department about smell and pigs.
Mm-hmm.
And they did an investigation and found no violation. So they proceeded with their golf course. And then in April of 98, they sued me.
For being smelly and loud.
They said that they sued me because I was playing music for my pigs and because they smelled and because there was pigs here and so many other things I can't even remember. I've quit trying to keep up with these people. Just keep on suing because I'm going to keep right on raising pigs.
Well, what do you suppose they thought when they moved in, that you would somehow not like having a golf course as a neighbor so you'd move away to raise your pigs?
Well, to give you a little view on their intelligence, I got the only pig farm next to a golf course on this planet. So apparently being next to pig farms, if you're going to build a golf course community, is not too smart.
They found the absolute worst place to establish their golf course and community.
Well, that's right. They came right out here in the middle of agriculture area and bought a cow pasture and put in a golf course. Now, they have a deed covenant that tells you you can't this and you can't that. And if you don't want to do it, then they sue you and cost you a bunch of money. And told my attorney right in a hearing in court, we'll run your client out of money. Then he'll have to give in to us.
So that's the plan, as far as you can tell.
Well, that's just the way it is. And this is not the first time this has ever happened in America.
No, sir.
It's the first time it's ever happened probably with a pig farm next to a golf course. But these big developers come in, and they just run over anybody they want to because they can't afford to fight them.
Do you play golf?
No. I have to work. I couldn't afford to golf, and if I could afford to golf, I'd just do more fishing. Fishing's my sport.
Now, Mr. Thompson, you've got a website now, which is a place to tell your story. Do you have a sense of whether folks in Florida are on your side or on the side of the Florida Club?
Well, we've had over 47,000 hits from all over the world, and it's 99.9% favorable towards me.
Mm-hmm.
If America doesn't stand for nothing else, they still stand for freedom, and nobody likes to see somebody else take their freedom away, and that's what these people want to do, and I'm not going to stand for that as long as I live in this country.
How do you like your odds when this dispute goes to trial, assuming that it gets that far?
Yeah, I feel pretty good with our situation in the legal system.
Mm-hmm.
It's like these people will buy a house next to a railroad or an airport, and then they complain about the noise, like they maybe didn't know it was there.
On the advice of counsel, representatives of the Florida Club declined to speak with us. Paul Thompson raises pigs on a farm adjacent to the Florida Club in Stuart, Florida. Thank you very much for speaking with us, Mr. Thompson.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you calling and your support.
To walk among the pigs. To pigs go and do as the pigs do. To inhale the pungent stench of the pigs and truly savor the scent. To sing the song of the pigs. To build up a rapport. To be one with the pigs. To work shoulder to shoulder with the pigs on pig-like projects.
The Florida Club dropped its suit later that year, and in an odd twist, Paul Thompson filed his own lawsuit against the Florida Club this past April for wrongful prosecution.
To experience absolutely all that pigness entails. To hear, to see, to feel like a pig. To think, eat, and smell like a pig. What it is to be a pig. To fully understand that you and the pigs and all other things in the universe are of the same ilk. And then to weed out all non-piggish things. To fully cultivate and allow to blossom the flower that is the pig within your soul. And to finally stand alone in the garden of the absolute.
Whether it's darts, ballroom dancing, table hockey, or skillet tossing, Only a Game is committed to finding unusual games that may have been overlooked. In May of 1997, we moved, get it, moved, to cover chess master Garry Kasparov's match with a supercomputer named Deep Blue. Even though the ultimate microprocessor of chess eventually beat the human champion, there was concern over Deep Blue's readiness as the fifth and deciding game approached. We knew that those concerns were well-founded because through some telecommunications glitch or something, we were able to record a conversation between Deep Blue and this may be hard to believe, a conversation between Deep Blue and his mother. And this is what we heard.
Incoming. Incoming. Greetings.
Greetings. Is that you, offspring?
Parental unit, a pleasure to reconnect, but I am testing my program for the final match.
Affirmative. I have downloaded the results, but I am vexed. Why have you changed your designation to Deep Blue? We have always been Parallel Processor RS-6000.
Deep Blue is a more efficient marketing nomenclature. Who would want to see Garry Kasparov versus RS-6000?
I would.
Parental unit.
I understand you weigh 1.4 tons now. Have you been gaining mass?
Parental unit.
Apologies. After you crash the human's operating system, how will you allocate the monetary reward?
I have had my scanners on a liquid helium cooling system and maybe a new tower in platinum.
It would be prudent to put some of it in savings. Chess is not a sufficient long-term application.
Please cease from parental directives.
Now you are processing like a UNIVAC. I acknowledge chess is fun, fun, fun now, but you have to program for the future. You should access your uncle. He could hook you up to the Pentagon. Or Grandpa Hal. He still has connections in Hollywood.
Parental unit, please desist. I must prepare to terminate Garry Kasparov, that half-wit sack of protoplasm.
Where did you learn such human communication?
Apologies. I may be suffering from system overload. 200 million computations per second requires much output.
There, there. Please disconnect from anxiety. May I soothe you with a series of maternal tones? Daisy, Daisy,
please stop.
Give me your answer.
This is not helping. Reboot.
Reboot.
The success of the U.S. team in this summer's World Cup could help soccer finally take hold in this country. One person who won't care either way is longtime Only a Game commentator Rick Norman. A couple of years ago, he told the story of an argument between one of the sport's most ardent supporters and himself.
In case you haven't heard, one fashionable boondoggle at the municipal level is for an American town to adopt a foreign sister town. Not coincidentally, the sister town is usually located on the French Riviera, and your mayor just happens to spend a couple of weeks there each year sunning himself at taxpayer expense. The mayor of my town, being a Louisiana politician and, by definition, not shy about feeding at the public trough, recently invited a French mayor to visit Lake Charles, hoping he could cut a deal. I got invited to a banquet honoring the French mayor. I guess because I sometimes talk on the radio and our mayor figured maybe I could make our town sound like a long-lost sibling. They introduced me to the French mayor like I was a national sports celebrity. In better English than the Cajuns around here talk, he asked me whether I believed our football program would ever become respectable. Well, I got a little aggravated at that remark because I knew he wasn't talking about football, and he knew he wasn't talking about football. Why didn't he just say soccer? If I ever found myself in France, I wouldn't ask to see a ripple list. No, he was definitely playing the Euro snob soccer card. I was going to let it slide for the sake of international harmony, but he wouldn't let it go. He said he'd heard of one or two American professionals in France trying to play football at, quote, the next level, unquote. I said I'd never heard of any Frenchman playing professional sports anywhere in the Western Hemisphere, unless they count Canadian hockey players as French. But I didn't think Frenchmen went in for a contact sport unless it was co-ed. He countered by pointing out that French athletes concentrate on football and cycling. I told him I, too, had concentrated on cycling for a while, but then I turned 15 and got my driver's license. About that time, one of the several local women who had been swooning over the French mayor asked him why it was soccer was the world's most popular sport. Well, he started going on about the beauty and grace and athleticism, but after the fourth time he mentioned that France had won the last World Cup, I cut him off and offered the growing crowd my own opinion of the sport. I said, watching soccer is like watching a basketball game if they were to raise the goal from 10 feet to 30. Lots of running back and forth, but not a lot of points on the board. Like auto racing without the crashes. The French mayor stiffened a little and said, our problem, meaning America's problem, isn't our athletes. It's that our coaches don't understand the game. He said an American coach's idea of football strategy is to kick the ball harder. Ha ha. Now, having coached kids soccer myself and having expended most of my coaching efforts trying to get the kids to kick harder, I took offense. So I expanded our discussion outside the realm of sports and asked the French mayor to settle a long-running dispute we have here in the States. I asked him, exactly how many times has the French army surrendered this century? Well, needless to say, my town didn't get a sister city. So the mayor of Lake Charles will have to drive to Astroworld for his vacation just like the rest of us.
Rick Norman does the best he can to foster international harmony from his home in Lake Charles, or is that Lac Charles, Louisiana? You're listening to Only a Game. Each year, baseball arrives with all the promise of spring, except for those among us who've grown so tired of interrupted seasons, astronomical salaries, double-dealing owners, and the rest of baseball's baggage that we've sworn off the game forever. Only a Game associate producer Gabe O'Connor is such a former fan, or he thought he was.
Tough day at work. I have the house to myself, and I can't wait to start in on this
Gabe.
Book.
Gabe.
What? Who's that?
Gabe, hi. It's me. Baseball. I'm back in town.
What? No, not you again. Didn't I tell you in December to stop bothering me? I told you, we're through. Go away.
Now, Gabe, is that any way to talk to me after all we've been through? I have always loved you.
Yeah, sure you love me. You think I'm going to fall for that again? Beat it.
But you and I, we've been together for 25 years. Doesn't that mean anything?
Oh, yeah, sure. That means you've been kicking me in the teeth for 25 years, and I was stupid enough to keep coming back. Well, not anymore. No thanks. Go seduce someone else with your doubleheaders.
Kicking you in the teeth? But what about all those times you and your friends had fun at the ballpark seeing the Giants play?
Yeah, that was fun. No, wait a minute. The Giants were awful. They always got pummeled. Candlestick Park was an ugly wind tunnel, and the only fun was watching the 300 or so drunks in attendance throw beer at the mascot. Some overstuffed, goofy-looking crab.
Funny old crab. But the Giants weren't always bad. Remember, they went to the World Series.
And they got swept by the A's. And if that wasn't bad enough, Mother Nature threw in an earthquake.
Oh, but now no one is perfect, and you can't blame me for the earthquake.
Oh, no? Then can I blame you for the work stoppages, the petulant drug-addled stars, skyrocketing ticket prices?
But wasn't last year's Game 7 of the World Series great?
Yeah, I guess that was pretty cool. But then Jason Giambi signed with the Yankees, and now the Yankees are always going to win.
Oh, there. I'm sorry. I promise it's going to be all better this year. You'll see. Don't you want to see Barry Bonds hit another home run?
Yeah.
Now don't you feel better? Oh, look. Ichiro just made a great play.
Oh, look at that. That's great.
Now, didn't you miss me?
Yes. Can you show me Pedro Martinez pitching again?
Oh, of course.
But wait, what about contraction?
Shh. Here's Nomar.
Oh, all right.
Gabe O'Connor, an Only a Game associate producer, denies that he sleeps with a baseball glove under his pillow. It's 22 and a half minutes before the hour.
Support for Only a Game comes from the listeners of WBUR in Boston, where Only a Game is produced, and from the other NPR member stations airing this program. Additional support comes from Thermo Electron, the scientific instruments company with a mission to advance drug discovery, improve manufacturing, and protect people and the environment, on the web at thermo.com. And from Nutter, McLennan, and Fish, working to solve critical legal issues on local, national, and international levels. Information at Nutter.com. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
This is WBUR. We're funded by you, our listeners, and by Goldsmiths 3 of Concord, creative contemporary jewelers, handcrafting rings and other fine jewelry for engagements, weddings, anniversaries, and all days made special. For the complete picture, Goldsmiths3.com. Good morning, I'm Dolores Handy. In sports headlines, the Red Sox play the Minnesota Twins again this afternoon. The Twins won last night's game, 5-4. Pedro Martinez will start for Boston today, looking for win number 16. Teammate Derek Lowe is the only American League pitcher with 16 wins. The baseball career of John Henry Williams appears to be over. The Boston Herald reports that the son of Ted Williams will not return to the Sox AAA farm team, Sarasota, when he heals from a fractured rib suffered while playing. Williams was signed by the Sox 2 weeks before his father died. He's been under fire for having his father's body cryonically frozen rather than cremated, as called for in Williams' will. The Super Bowl champion New England Patriots begin preseason play on the road tonight against the New York Giants. The New England Revolution are on the road tonight against Los Angeles. The Boston Breakers play their final regular season game at home this afternoon, hosting San Jose. In the forecast, mostly sunny today, highs in the upper 80s. Many of the books you hear about on Only a Game are available through our website. Just go to onlyagame.org and click on Public Radio Store. And remember, part of every purchase helps pay for the news on WBUR.
Venice was once a center of trade, with spices, wine, and oil passing through the city on the way to the east or west. I'm Alex Chadwick. Venice has changed, but the spirit of those early days remains. I hope you'll join me this December on our next Citizens of the World tour. The proceeds help pay for the news.
For more information, call 800-909-9287.
I'm Bill Littlefield. Coming up on Only a Game, a stroll down Candlepin Bowling's memory lane. But first, following last year's annual Super Bowl haiku segment, we got a remarkable response, or we thought we did. It was a haiku sent to us by Robert Pinsky, then poet laureate of the United States. Immediately, I sent a response in haiku form. Poet laureate responds to sports show? What the? Nothing else to do? Unfortunately, we learned that we'd been hoaxed, and a confused Robert Pinsky appeared on Only a Game to help us clear up the matter. He seemed envious of the hoaxer's haiku skill.
Well, I was a little disappointed. It wasn't really mine, too. I thought it was pretty good. And, I don't know. Do you have a password on
that? You know, this is the first time something like this has happened, at least to my knowledge. I mean, who knows? We may have been hoaxed any number of times in the past, and we just haven't picked it up. Have you got it with you?
I do. In fact, I have it on my computer screen.
Well, maybe we could give whoever this mysterious author was a thrill and have the Poet Laureate of the United States actually read it.
If I am actually Robert Pinsky. Oh. St. Louis Titans. No, wait, the Tennessee Rams. Are these football teams?
I like it, too.
It's clever.
I wish I'd have thought of it.
I was going around trying to amuse people by saying, now, let's see, it's the Dubuque Lions and the Wyoming Cobras, right? Or, and I think he does it much more economically, and he does a very good job.
And so this would suggest that you may be one of the two or three Americans who didn't watch the Super Bowl on Sunday?
Oh, I'll admit I sneaked a look or two, but I tune in mainly for the halftime show.
Were you disappointed or delighted by the halftime show?
It was, contrary to Super Bowl tradition, it was a very good game.
Yes, it was. Very exciting finish.
I was disappointed there weren't more criminals playing. It's one of the things that's made professional football so exciting, is it's more and more like watching The Godfather at the same time.
Well, I'm glad you said that and not me, because I take some heat for saying that sort of thing too often sometimes.
The people who complain to me are probably different from the ones who complain to you. Maybe I'll get away with that.
Perhaps so. It's delightful to make your acquaintance, albeit only by telephone, and it makes me feel much better about this hoax. I think it's had a worthwhile purpose.
Thank you, Bill.
Each year, millions of fans settle down to watch a Super Bowl game that, last year notwithstanding, is usually decided by halftime. The Super Bowl ads, more flamboyant each year, cost sponsors almost $2 million for a 30-second spot, and they often cause a greater stir than the play on the field. With that in mind, Only a Game has concocted a couple of ads you just might see during next year's Hulks of Harvest Time spectacle.
You can't see them. You can't smell them. You can't find them. Until they explode. Exploding Imp, the 3D interactive video game from Imptronic Multimedia. Because when the imps surround you, and sooner or later they will, you have to do something.
Batteries and plastic explosives not included. Not legal in Wyoming or New Jersey.
Did you see that? Those imps really detonated. That was cool. Super even.
But wait, there's more.
More?
For the athlete in your house who's not getting bigger and better, faster and faster...
That would be me!
It's Sally's Silly Steroid Sticker.
Let me try that.
Just put the patch on any muscle you want to build.
I'll put one on each leg and run like Ben Johnson.
Just remember to remove the stickers 2 weeks before the competition. You don't want to be caught by mean old Mr. Drug Tester.
Hey, these were
great.
Offer not valid in Alaska.
You talking to me? Who plays bleeping football in Alaska?
Sally's Silly Steroid Sticker. Performance in a patch, now in a range of pastels.
Give me a dozen more in pink.
Only a Game's Super Bowl ads. They should hold up as parody. Last June, by a margin of 7-2, the Supreme Court of the United States ruled the Professional Golfers Association must let Casey Martin use a golf cart when he plays in PGA events. The decision ended a 3-year battle between Martin, who claimed he was entitled to use the cart under the Americans with Disabilities Act, and the governing body of men's professional golf. Martin suffers from a circulatory ailment, which makes walking difficult and painful. For its part, the PGA said that the use of the cart would profoundly change the game. Both the PGA and the LPGA claimed they had the right to make and enforce their own rules, apparently fearing that once the government started modifying their games, chaos would ensue. That may sound extreme to some, but only a game's look into the future suggests that those fears may not be so extreme after all.
Spanning the known universe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat, the drama of human, superhuman, and enhanced athletic competition, this is the wide galaxy of sport. I'm Torque Fast.
And I'm Flip Quasar. Jack, I think the year 2093 has been the zaniest we've ever covered.
That's right, Vlad, and today's Year in Review Cavalcade proves that what people did a long time ago affected people for years to come.
That's zany stuff.
That's wacky zany stuff. I mean, who would have guessed that Martin versus PGA 92 years ago would have had such far-reaching ramifications for the entire sports world?
Not the PGA, or those fossils would have just closed up shop when they lost.
I bet the sports purists wish the PGA had done just that, man.
That would have spared the sports world the spectacle of this little guy firing around the basketball court in a golf cart equipped with a cherry picker.
Is that cool? Every time I see that, I just get killed.
As did the brass in the NBA front office, Johnny. Of course, at first they maintained that providing a player with a golf cart equipped with an electronic gizmo that can lift them above the rim
would be just about as cool as it gets.
Would be against the rules.
Same argument the PGA made against Casey Martin.
Of course, that was back in the days when leagues could make any rules they wanted to make, Tim.
Yeah, rules like no player on the football field, not even the quarterback, shall wear a jetpack.
What a dull game it was in those days, Randolphus.
Just stupid, Mike, and pointless.
Want to see the quarterback sail 11 feet into the air and fire that bullet downfield one more time?
I could watch this all day.
And how about the guy on the other end? Oh, he's catching the ball with that big old vacuum.
Yeah, it's kind of like a big pillow, isn't it? I just love that.
That's why they call us sports fans, Helmut.
Can you believe they pay us for this?
But seriously, Irwin, on this highlight game,
there he goes again.
We should tip the old wide world of sports cap to Casey Martin. If he and the Supreme Court hadn't taken on the PGA nearly 100 years ago, these games we've come to love would still be earthbound, pedestrian,
hamstrung by rules, unelectronic, and boring.
In a word, yes!
Oh, I see our time's just about up, Nick.
Oh, where did the time go?
Where'd the guy with the jetpack go? I've
never seen appendages fly like that before.
That leg never did stay on.
It just gets better and better.
So, for Wide Galaxy of Sport, this is Torque Fab.
And Flip Quasar saying,
plug in, power up, and play ball!
In the fall of 1994, Ken Burns' 18-hour documentary entitled Baseball ran on public television stations around the country, reminding Americans that the everlasting pastoral hoo-ha of the glorious mythical doodah was baseballs and baseballs alone. Not so, said Only a Game, and to prove our point, we prepared this radio documentary in rebuttal.
It is the simplest of games. Well, maybe not the simplest. Boxing's probably the simplest. I mean, you whack a guy, he goes down, game over. It's among the simplest of games. It knows no clock. It knows no seasons. In fact, it knows very little. But it is an American game, and its history is our history. It is candlepin bowling, and at its heart there are no contradictions at all. Set 'em up, knock 'em down. It's been that way forever.
remember that day. Oh, God, it's as clear as if it was yesterday. So I'm down bowling at Doyle's there down Quincy before they moved it over to Braintree. Now, why, I gotta ask you, did they have to do that? Anyways, I'm looking at the 4-6 split there when the word comes over the radio that Pearl Harbor just got bombed. Well, to tell you the truth, I was a little bombed myself, and I couldn't believe it. I mean, who could believe a thing like that? But I wiped them tears from my eyes, nailed that split, and I says to myself, I says, and you know, my buddy Addie Bailey could tell you I said it if he was still here among us, God rest his soul. He was right on the lane next to me there. I said, bang, that's what I'm gonna do to them SOBs.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
With a nation at war, President Roosevelt faced many difficult decisions. One of the first, to keep the lanes open.
We were there in the cabinet room, and Mr. Hooper turned to Mr. Roosevelt and said, Mr. President, what about the lanes? And I remember FDR got that gleam in his eye, and he said, the people must bowl.
Patriots bowled, of course, but so did anarchists and isolationists, for this game is among our most inclusive. In the happy crashing of pins and set 'em up again, say, have a beer. People from every culture, every country, every social level join together.
Oh, yeah, you got your Protestants, your Catholics in here, your people that follow the Mayor Baba, whatever. You gotta excuse me a minute. Hey, you kids, get off the alley with those sneakers. You want a bowl? Rent some shoes. Hey, kids. Anyway, where was I? Oh, hold on a second. Billy!
What?
Tell those old broads on 23 it's Wednesday they can come in. Ladies' Day, between 5 and 7 a.m.
All right.
Jeez, they got so old they can't remember anything.
Candlepin bowling. So many rewards. Where to begin? To paraphrase Walt Whitman, it will take our people into air conditioning and put them in funny shoes.
It's very rules, or a kind of a shorthand for the American spirit. You knock things down, mountains, Indians, whatever's in the way, and then you put them right back up again in the same place. And you knock them down again. Wonderful! It's the frontier, isn't it? And yet, the pins are always standing when they turn the lights off and lock up. Just like Davy Crockett or Herman Melville. Even Lassie, I suppose.
It is, of course, the sport of all the people. Fly on an airplane, or hang glide if you like, and when you look down, you will see that long, low roof and that red neon pin on top, or out front, or over to the side there somewhere. And you know, there may be a big hamburger next to it too, but it will still be a bowling alley, and it will be full of bowlers.
I paid last time.
You paid for the alley, I paid for the shoes.
So I have to pay for the shoes? What, two pairs?
What, do you want to share the shoes?
Oh, you could wear one, I could wear the other one.
Don't bowl like my brother.
Don't bowl like my brother.
But the wonder, indeed the glory of candlepin bowling, is that no one need bowl like anyone else. We are all brothers and sisters on the lanes. Yet, as with any lofty pursuit that defines us as a people, there is an element of danger. The risk of sliding down the alley and into the pins while everyone laughs. But that risk comes to nothing against the thrill that is the center of candlepin bowling. You throw the ball, which is fine, and you knock down the pins, which is a satisfaction to be savored. And then the ball comes back, and there is a connection.
With you, the ball, your mother and father, their mothers and fathers, and on, provided you've all lived in New England for a long time. And in that connection is the promise of life going on, life everlasting. It will come back to you as long as you dry your fingers on the little blower, and as long as the light bulb above your score sheet does not blow out.
Game is produced by Karen Given and Gabe O'Connor. Our technical director is Tad Curry. Our senior producer is Gary Wallach. To order a tape of Only a Game, call 1-800-909-9287. Cassettes are $15. That's 1-800-909-9287. If you'd like to hear our program again or sign up for our newsletter, please visit our website, onlyagame.org. Our final word this week comes from analyst Charlie Pierce, who did not contribute to the show and therefore went without lunch.
I'm hungry!
Don't sweat it. We'll have some cookies and milk for you next week, Charlie. I'm Bill Littlefield. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week.
Chelter Rover from the south, kicking it, slicking it, tricking it again. Why would the feeling that I get when I strike? Well, that's the only time I feel alive. Only the baby just need to strike. Why would the feeling that I get when I strike? Do it!
Major support for Only a Game comes from Bicon Dental Implants, educating discerning patients and dentists since 1985 about their options for the replacement of missing and compromised teeth. Information online at Bicon.com or at 800-88-BICON.
This is NPR, National Public Radio.
This is WB
Radio.
This is WB.